Isn't this a sports show?
There are several things that I was prepared to talk about today, but my armpits and a police chase got us all off track.
Almost entirely.
Dry as a desert in these pits, oh mine.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
It's been a while since we had any new intros. There was one yesterday. Up until this week. There was one last week.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Now, I can't quite hug the Facebook camera, but I can kind of outstretch my arms as if I'm giving a nice back-patting hug.
That was weird. Don't do that again.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
You want to talk about the Royals, you guys?
No.
No.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I was actually thinking about this earlier today in regards to the last syllables of the liner, of the intro there. I think we might just try to go all day or all week without talking about the team in blue, not named Sporting Kansas City in the city.
The Jayhawks?
The professional team, sorry.
Well, the Jayhawks?
Yeah. I was going to say the team where players don't get paid to be there, but it's a little bit questionable, I guess. Welcome in to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City for the second obvious day in a row. We're talking mostly about what the Chiefs did in the NFL draft and where it all leaves them now. First, though, I have to tell you about the thing that is currently haunting me. Also, Beard, your mic is still on. I'm worried about you.
The Union Broadcasting Wi-Fi is acting up, so I'm distracted with that.
Got it. That's sort of why I wanted to make sure you knew your mic was on, because the things you say about the Wi-Fi in this building aren't always safe for radio and Facebook.
The Wi-Fi is not safe for work.
Also 100% true. Very good. I don't think I've stopped sneezing in for the last, like, 48 hours. I'm just sneezing and, like, I'm sneezing and wheezing for the most part. And so today's show may occasionally be interrupted by a breaking sniffle before we return to your regularly scheduled programming. Perhaps an errant sneeze. I'll try to get to the cough button if I can, but I make no promises. My eyes are slightly itchy. That's the worst. My nose is slightly tingly right now. This is the curse that I live through in the spring and even most of the summer. I imagine that most people want to enjoy things like blooming flowers and beautiful trees, kind of a happier time in Kansas nature. I'm actively rooting for everything to die. I want every living thing outside to die.
Mike in the comments says Flonase.
I'm going to type that into my tab right now so I can go try that also. Oh, it's still at Target. Huh. I'll add it to my list. I've got so many anti-allergy medications that have gone through my system in the last few years, and I thought that I was going to break through a relatively easy wall this year. Nope. These last 2 days have been nightmarish. And I just wanted to warn you, the listener or viewer, that this is where I'm at now. Like, I grabbed a bunch of tissues before I left my house today.
How many do you have left?
I'm already using the Union Broadcasting paper towels.
At least we have a lot of those.
We do.
Just a stack of them in the kitchen.
And these actually are from the bathroom, because these are slightly softer. I was going to point out, these aren't like the worst case scenario. They're also not ideal.
No.
My whole breathing situation is not ideal right now. But I'm a warrior. I will fight through. I will prevail / overcome, but I also will complain about it. That's kind of my MO. I will achieve while complaining. I I'm going to go get this slow dance on the way home today. I'm willing to try anything. I appreciate the suggestion.
Snort some chili pepper. See if that does anything.
Let me go ahead and open a tab of that also so I remember. Snort chili pepper? Question mark?
I feel like that would just clear you right up.
Yeah, actually, Google just, it's just flashing in bright red letters. No, 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 no. My whole screen, my whole computer just crashed. There are actually a bunch of YouTube videos.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
Of people snorting chili powder.
Are they just breathing fire out of their nostrils now?
Well,
yes.
There is an article on the wildpharma.wordpress.com about snorting chili powder for blocked sinuses.
And?
I guess I gotta read the internet. I have a bunch of Chief stuff ready to go, but this is not something I expected to be starting today with. We'll get to the Chief stuff.
And now, Josh reads the internet.
One more disclaimer. I do not know how this story ends. I just clicked this post. A dear friend, let's call him Bill, had been suffering from chronic sinusitis flare-ups for a few years. It got worse over the years after receiving crushing blows to the face and head during martial arts training and fighting. Bill was in his late 30s at the time and was otherwise healthy, fit, and with a lust for life.
Except for that whole smashed face thing.
Each winter, he would get the telltale signs of sinusitis coming on. In this case, meant runny eyes and a hard-to-bear pressure headache all around his upper face and forehead. Visiting his house one evening, I suggested he try snorting a small amount of chili powder, as I had heard that this could offer great relief.
YouTube never lies.
I add parenthetically, I don't know what this person's... what this person's credentials are. As you can imagine, he was reluctant at first, and questioned if it was safe and whether it would work. I assured him that I had seen it done and that no one had been injured in any way. On one of my herbal training weeks, we had all tried a pinch of special snuff containing tiny amounts of chili powder, mustard powder, and other similar explosive-type plant materials.
Explosive-type? You snorted this?
Except for a few surprised faces and coughs and gasps. He went into his kitchen, got on with the business. A few minutes later, I heard shouting and the kind of noises that humans make when they are in great distress. As I entered the kitchen, Bill was on all fours, punching the hard kitchen floor and shouting profanities. He looked up at me with eyes and nose streaming, face reddens with veins bulging all over his face, and a look to me that inquired, "Why would you do this to me?" After reassuring and comforting him, I asked how much chili he had snorted, and he informed me that it was a fair-sized line of chili about 6 centimeters long up each nostril using a straw.
Oh, whoops.
The suggested efficacious dose is about a pinch up each nostril. An idea about how big a pinch is, look at your little fingernail and divide that in half. One half is about enough for a pinch. His distress lasted for another 10 minutes or so, gradually fading as if he had just gotten several rounds with Mike Tyson and was now allowed to rest and recuperate. He said he felt much better. The next morning, his streaming eyes and pressure headache had gone, and he has not had an incident of sinusitis since. This was about 15 years ago.
Bill was 32.
He only needed his treatment once, but then it was a heroic dose. I also learned a valuable lesson to be very specific on dosages and instructions, and to give my personal friends as much care and attention as I would a paying client. Wow. All right. I guess we have a solution now.
So basically what he's saying is, in order to be cured for life, recreate the scene from Scarface.
But with chili powder.
Yes.
Yep. Although I imagine doing that much cocaine would also pretty much clear out your sinuses.
We can post that video on Facebook Live later.
Oh, man. How funny would that be?
Josh snorts all the chili powder.
Oh, man. I think we could get someone to view that.
I think we could get a lot of people to view that.
I think we probably could.
We'll share that to the 810 Facebook page.
Oh, man, those good retweets. There's a lot of stupid things I'd do for good retweets. And maybe this one would solve my nose problems.
Two birds, one stone.
Yeah. Perfect.
Two nostrils.
More than one chili.
Two nostrils, one nose.
All right, so Flonase and chili powder. I'll do that on my way home. Anita suggests I do that during a commercial break for Facebook Live. That is going to be its own existing video. I'm not about to do that in a commercial break. That might be pay-per-view. Commercial break, please.
Venmo Josh, and then he'll send you the link.
I like that. That's good. Yeah, you can send me $10 on Venmo. I'll do it once for every $10. I'll personalize it. I'll get your name and chili powder and then sort it. I just feel terrible. In my nose and face. All right, we can talk about the Chiefs, I guess. That is where I intended to begin today, but this is the right kind of way to get pulled off the rails in the first moments of the show. By a true struggle that I'm exhibiting, and then a very good blog post about a man who cured sinusitis, as if that's even a real thing, with two fat lines of chili powder.
How is that spelled? Do you remember?
Sinusitis?
Yeah.
I think, like I say it. Like sinus and then itis.
Okay, let's see. Because I've never heard of that.
This is a sinus infection. Ooh, there's a little... Ooh, gross. Oh, there's a picture that I hate.
Is it this one?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a drawing. It's like a graphic.
It's not pretty.
Do you know that's where you store mucus?
No. That's weird.
There's mucus under
your
pockets?
Eye?
Under your eyes?
Huh.
What? Beards and I are both just poking our own faces. Trying to
figure...
I don't
feel any sloshing.
What? What?
Very common. More than 3 million U.S. cases per year. Bacteria in mucus causes inflammation. Interesting. Seeing this picture, I think you might need to actually recreate the Shawshank scene. Just stick your face in a mountain of chili powder and just inhale.
Scarface, not Shawshank. Shawshank.
I would have been a very different movie.
I don't think that doing the Shawshank scene would have would solve my...
Which scene are you referring to?
Any number of them.
That's also fair.
I'm not sure that any single scene in the Shawshank Redemption would help me with my allergies.
What if when you're crawling through the... Spoiler alert, by the way. Spoiler alert.
I actually haven't seen the movie.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh, well, then never mind.
I don't think you have to give me a spoiler. It's not Infinity War. Like, you're still a jerk if you tweet about Infinity War, the end of Infinity War, or like any big
tomorrow
plot points in Infinity War. That's a jerk move. It's been out for like a week. Shawshank has been out, I think, my entire life. I think it came out in 1994.
It's also a great movie.
Sure, everyone says that. We talk about this, we have this discussion once a month. Yeah, it came out in 1994.
Yeah.
Shawshank has been out as long as I have.
I would say, do you want to borrow it, but you still haven't watched A Fish Called Wanda yet, and you still have my copy of that.
That is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. Are you ever going to watch that?
Yeah, I think so.
You think?
I do.
I gave that to you when, like 3 months ago?
Yeah, give me three more. Set a reminder. I'm going to talk about the Chiefs while I'm doing that. Set a reminder on your phone and set it for two. Set one for 2 months from now that says taking A Fish Called Wanda back in 1 month, and then set one for 3 months from now to remind yourself to take it back.
Okay, Google. Set a reminder for 2 months from now to beat Josh up if he doesn't watch A Fish Called Wanda.
And just remember, I have a month after that also.
Yes, save it.
I have a month after that to actually watch it and bring it back.
All right, you've got till July 1st.
Okay, I can do that.
And then I'm going to beat you up.
Okay. I don't think that would be a very pleasant fight.
No.
I don't think, like, I think I would beat you if I needed to. I feel decent about that. But you've got some, like, weird karate background, right?
Yeah, I took karate for 8 years.
Yeah. But I imagine it was like from like age 8 to 16 or something, right?
Still.
Yeah, I think I'd be okay, but I also feel like it just wouldn't be terribly graceful. It would be kind of a Floyd Mayweather fight also. Like I would just kind of keep kind of backpedaling. I'll try to watch it so we don't have to get to that. The Chiefs Super Bowl odds went down today. In fact, I think someone said that the Chiefs have the worst Super Bowl odds out of the AFC West. Which seems silly, but whatever.
I think I saw a Bleacher Report article the other day that was like the rankings of teams post-draft, and the Chiefs were like ninth.
I don't know. After the draft, I know it dropped, though. And it actually makes sense. Not that they have perhaps worse odds than the Broncos or whatever. That's insane. But the idea of the odds going down after the draft makes a lot of sense because this draft seemed to be very forward-looking. And we'll hear from Brett Veach in a little while. Because Cody Tapp, friend of the show and company, and he's having a show over here.
Yeah, former tenant of the Almost Entirely of the ESPN Kansas City studio.
Yes.
Until we kicked him out.
Right.
Violently.
Right. It was not because he got promoted.
Uh-uh.
And moved to the 810 side of things.
We definitely literally carried him and threw him out of the door of the control room.
Literally. But he asked Veach a question about comparing Breland Speaks and Tano Passanio. I thought that was very interesting, and we'll hear Veach's answer about that in a little bit. But that notwithstanding, and this was the main topic of yesterday's show, the Chiefs didn't address their biggest need until the hundreds this weekend. And a team like the Packers ended up with, I want to say that it was like Jaire Alexander and Josh Jackson. Let me know when you find that beard, who they drafted. Because they ended up with two cornerbacks. They definitely ended up with Josh Jackson, one pick ahead of where the Chiefs took Breland Speaks.
Jaire Alexander
boom!
Is a Packer.
Boom!
And then the other one was
Josh Jackson. He definitely is.
Okay.
Nailed it. Got it in one. So, like, the Packers went out, found arguably their biggest need, and then addressed it vigorously by drafting Jaire Alexander and then also Josh Jackson. The Chiefs went out and had their biggest need sitting there and just decided to stand pat. That's why their odds went down. Like, it's pretty simple. I don't think you should be terribly torn up about it. And also, as much as I think it's silly the idea that maybe they have the worst odds in the AFC West, I do think that's silly. I also wouldn't be getting on a flight to Vegas because I don't think this team's going to win the Super Bowl. However, I think they have pretty much as good of a chance as anybody in the AFC West. Like, that seems super reasonable because the Chiefs have the one quarterback in the division that could just pop off. And they also, I guess to that same logic, have the quarterback most likely to blow up in their face. Speaking of, sneezing coming.
Wow.
Yep.
That was a thud.
What do you mean it was a thud?
I heard it
shook the studio. Nice. I had the cough button to save the audience. I'm probably going to sneeze again. It's terrible.
Just leave the mic off for one of those.
All right.
Yeah, see, that wasn't too bad.
I also, like, turned away because I don't want to sneeze into a microphone that
no,
other people use.
That's 100% fair.
We're going to have to take commercial breaks today based off of sneezing fits. If you're annoyed that we started the show by talking about my sneezing, now you know why. It was a utilitarian use of our time. Today's commercial breaks are going to largely be determined by if I need to sneeze or blow my nose or not. Also, beard, just to establish, if I do a throat slashing motion, it means cut my mic, I've got to blow my nose. And I can't blow my nose with one hand. It's like I have to brace myself.
I'll remember that.
It is a violent occasion. So the Chiefs could blow up. They could, in either way, either sense of the word, for better or for worse. Because they have Pat Mahomes. And he could do anything. So I wouldn't lose your mind about the Super Bowls. I wouldn't go to Vegas to bet on them, and I also wouldn't panic if you already have. The more interesting thing about the draft class, I think, is connected to this. The reason that Super Bowl odds go down, the reason that people maybe get slightly more pessimistic about 2018 is because of the path to playing time that these guys either do or do not have. And I was going to talk about that in the first segment, but now I need to blow my nose. No, it's okay, Beards. We're going to take a commercial. Now I need to blow my nose because every flowering plant wants me to die. A grisly, brutal death. So we're taking a break. Whenever we come back, we're talking about the path of playing time for Chief draftees. Also, throughout the show today, we're going to get to some sound from the area scouts for Khalil McKenzie, Tre'Mond Smith, and Armani Watts. Also, Brett Veach said some things about all of those guys. That's the outlook for the rest of the show, or at least as long as I stay conscious.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe. On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
All right, I'm doing my best. Also, the comments as they move on Facebook are difficult sometimes. But Mike also mentioned the neti pot as an option. Have you used a neti pot before, Beards?
Yes.
It's a fine. Neti pot is basically a small plastic tea kettle that you fill with warm water and salt, and then you pour it into one nostril, turn your head sideways, and it comes out your other nostril. Like, and it's like this full, like, your head is sideways, and then you pour it into one nostril, and it starts coming out the other.
Yep.
It is
weird.
The weirdest thing.
It's a little weird.
The sensation is weird. The idea is weird. The fact that someone went, I'm going to try this, is weird. It's also probably helpful, but I need long-term fixes here.
Snort all the chili powder.
Yeah, I'm going to start carrying around an Altoid tin full of chili powder.
Your snuff box is just going to be chili powder?
Uh-huh, yes. So I'm going to grow my pinky finger out real long also. And I'll just, if you ever see me pop up with an Altoid tin, just scoop a nail full of chili powder, sniff that up, and then probably weep for like 24 hours straight. That sounds horrible. Thank you for the ideas, though. There are two different things I wanted to get to. Oh, one specific thing. We talked to Kent Swanson yesterday, and I thought it was interesting that for him, the issue with the Chiefs draft was mostly in the evaluation of Breland Speaks. For me, the issue with the draft was mostly in the Chiefs' refusal to draft a cornerback high, basically taking Speaks instead of Isaiah Oliver. And Kent responded to a tweet this morning that I thought summed it up pretty well. Someone asked him, he said, how would this draft class be viewed if we had taken a cornerback like Isaiah Oliver instead of Speaks, but everything else was the same? That was a question I was asking yesterday. And Kent said, quote, most of my issues with the class fall on the evaluation of Speaks, honestly. However, if you look at the DL as a whole, he could be positioned to succeed. I understand why the why of this class at this point. Hope Speaks develops quickly. And I think that makes sense. I didn't have an evaluation of Speaks going into it, so the value that they spent for Speaks did bother me, especially when Oliver was on the board. For me, I was looking at this from the base perspective of what do the Chiefs have and need, as opposed to Kent looking at it from the base perspective of what is Breland Speaks worth, what does it cost to go get him. Both of those really good. Ryan Scott Hall, he's at Ryan Scott Hall on Twitter. He's half of the Amateur Hour podcast, you can go to chiefspodcast.com. They have that URL. It's a very good URL, and they have it. I like both these guys a lot. But I almost said where I think the podcast is, and I don't want to say that the podcast is found somewhere that it's not. So go to chiefspodcast.com, and you'll find a link to them. Listening to the first hour from yesterday, here's a thought on the cornerbacks. The Chiefs appear to view the Fuller-Peters spot as a wash. Emerson is also probably equal to all the bad CB2s we played last year. Nelson should improve because he's healthy. I think it's also reasonable to think that the Chiefs think that. Now, it being reasonable that the Chiefs may think that is not the same as that thought being reasonable, at least from my perspective. For me, I don't think it's even particularly questionable that Fuller right now is a step down from Marcus Peters as a cornerback on the field playing football. That seems pretty obvious to me. Amerson from Terrence Mitchell, maybe that's a wash. Maybe it's a slight improvement. For me, a thing that we talked about some before the draft that really emboldened my the Chiefs are taking a cornerback take was that the Chiefs were so unhappy with that second cornerback spot last year that they went out and brought in 97-year-old geriatric Darrell Revis. And that to me seemed like a real admittance from them that they hadn't invested properly in the cornerback position, and I hoped that that would be an inclination that they would invest in it more in this year's draft. So maybe they see that a cornerback position's as exactly equal to last year. And right now, I think that's the best case scenario. It can't be better than it was last year. And last year's wasn't good enough. Now, you could say, hey, they're improving the pass rush and the run defense, and that's great. They are. That's true. Those things are true in free agency and in the draft. Hitchens and Williams in free agency, and then everybody in the draft brought in for the pass rush, getting D4 back, brought in for the pass rush, and helped the run defense, returning Eric Berry, etc. I've said all these things 1,000 times at this point. But for me, the place that best case scenario for the cornerback position, best case scenario to have treaded water, that's disappointing to me because that's a position group that I think, if not needed to improve, really should have over an offseason. Somewhere in there it should have improved. And even with these young guys, I'm going to eventually, I keep teasing it, eventually we'll talk about these day three guys. I think the Chiefs might have ended up with some guys in day three that can be helpful in the secondary. But they also cut Ron Parker for cap reasons, and I'm not sure if the safety position didn't get a little bit worse, at least for the 2018 season. And if you want to write off 2018, then whatever. Then everything is viewed differently. It's also totally plausible that Brett Veach is doing some of that also. Saying, don't ask me about 2018. I don't care about 2018. I'm going to have everything ready to go for 2019. So Daniel Sorensen is gone, and Dorian O'Daniel is in, and Ron Parker's dead money is off the cap, and we've got all these young guys to cycle through, and we're going to bring in another corner at some point, and Dee Ford's going to be gone, but Breland Speaks and Tano Pastineau and Justin Houston are going to be a hell of a three-man pass rush, and maybe that's the mindset. If that is the mindset, then that's fine. For me, it's just kind of hard to be here on May 1st, 2018, trying to sell you on August 1st, 2019. It's just a long ways away. Like, we're going to have to talk about something. So I'm just kind of choosing to not accept that that's the mindset. If it does end up being the mindset, then we can reevaluate, I suppose. But I do appreciate the angle there from Ryan. Let's go ahead now to... Oh, we got to talk about the playing time. I did want to talk about the playing time because this is all brought up in the same conversation. This year's draft class, the path of playing time, and what it means for this year or what it means for the future. And I just want to kind of go through each of these guys to try to give you an idea of realistically what they have in front of them. And I think that it's going to be, I won't say stunning, but just kind of eyebrow raising what it's going to take for some of these guys to make these jumps. Actually, and you know what, Beards, one piece of sound I do want to go and play this time is Brett Veach talking about Breland Speaks versus Tano Pastineau, because that will come in whenever we talk to him. I'm going to work backwards, actually. I'm going to start from the bottom of the draft and move up, because theoretically, most of the time you would assume that a guy at the end of the draft would have a more clogged path to playing time We'll get to the Speaks audio in a minute. Or I guess the Veach audio on Speaks in a minute. The Chiefs' last pick at 198 was Khalil McKenzie. He is not going to see the field this year. I can't imagine that he's even out there for, like, a field goal blocking formation. Like, I can't imagine that he sees the field in any actual live action this year, which is fine because that's the expectation. He's also the almost a 200th pick moving from defensive tackle to guard. If he sees the field, it's for some, like, crazy, either for a bunch of injuries or some crazy formation like a Dontari Poe fullback kind of thing. Maybe that makes sense. Maybe he sees it then. But not as a guard. What do you? Charlie is back there, and Charlie and Beards have been like giggling at things for like an hour now. Not really.
He was just saying, minutes. "Oh, this show's been really sportsy for you." And I was like, "Yeah, we spent the first 10 minutes talking about snorting chili powder."
That's true.
Just like what?
Yep, that's true. You know, it's been sportsy since the first 10 minutes or so, which was talking about creative ways that I could clear my sinuses because I haven't stopped sneezing. I got caught in a snot bubble there. I think I haven't stopped sneezing in 48 hours. I took 2 Benadryl last night and I did sleep wonderfully. That was exciting.
In your near death coma?
Uh-huh. Yeah. But I also woke up like this, you know, I just thought of this. I woke up feeling like refreshed. Like I woke up before my alarm. I woke up at like 7:20. I haven't woken up at 7:20 on my own volition like ever. And I did.
I woke up at like 7 yesterday just because I don't know why I just did.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, it's 7 o'clock. Well, I'm going back to bed.
Yeah. I didn't today. I was like, you know, I didn't really do anything. But I got out of bed. Felt good about that. I don't, yes, Benadryl shot me down. And then I was ready to go in the morning. It was amazing. Guess that's what happens whenever you take Benadryl and chili powder at the same time. Easy segue back to Khalil McKenzie not going to see the field this year, except for, I will predict, perhaps in a Dontari Poe situation. Fullback lead in the goal line package. Maybe that's his move. Because he has the ferocity of a defensive tackle, but he's going to be learning how to play guard. The pick, 2 picks before that was cornerback Tre'Mon Smith. If he makes this team, it's probably going to be through special teams. I would be pretty surprised to see him get any real playing time this year. If he does, that's probably bad news. The good news for him is the bottom of this cornerback depth chart is very movable. There are a couple guys down there that could either end up being this team's third outside corner or could end up not making this team, and neither of those things would really surprise me. Tre'Mon Smith is just another one of those guys who's clearly below Fuller, Nelson, Amerson, and then after that, everybody is kind of that same coin flip. Armani Watts is the 4th-round pick. He's played safety. He's going to get playing time this year. He may start beside Eric Berry. I think that's plausible, not probable. Right now, I would bet a reasonable amount of money. The starting safeties of the year are Eric Berry and Eric Murray. Because I don't want it to be Daniel Sorensen. Dorian O'Daniel, we'll talk about in a second, makes Daniel Sorensen a little bit expendable. And I don't think the Chiefs are going to drop Armani Watts in over Eric Murray right to start. But we'll hear the scouts talk about Watts a little bit later, and you're going to hear some really exciting things about him. He's the guy that's getting the most positive hype at his value in this draft class, and it's not even close. I think I said this yesterday, that Ian Wharton, who evaluates corners across football, said that he thinks that he will start up beside Eric Berry. I don't think he will, but their play styles do complement each other, and I think eventually he's on the field this year. Dorian O'Daniel was the 100th pick. He's the guy where just kind of imagine him as being playing Daniel Sorensen's role, but being better against the run whenever he is in there as kind of a linebacker hybrid, linebacker safety hybrid, because O'Daniel's really coming from more of a linebacker base, whereas Sorensen's coming from kind of more of a safety base from how I kind of rationalize that. I do think we're going to see him play this year, but again, maybe not ahead of Daniel Sorensen. The one thing that I do wonder about on that, I'm going to need to, I don't think I need the music. I think I'm going to get there, but it really depends on the Wi-Fi in this place, so maybe I will need the music. I hit the tab I needed. I hit the bookmark as I said, you know what I do wonder, like 30 seconds ago. All right, I got it. The Chiefs with Daniel Sorensen. Daniel Sorensen's due $5.3 million this year. As a pre-June 1st cut, it would cost $3 million, but they could free up $2.3 million. And as a post-June 1st cut, they could cut Daniel Sorensen for $1 million and save $4.3 million against the cap if they want to. That seems entirely plausible if they really like what they see from Dorian O'Daniel during training camp. Something to keep an eye on. If that happens, if they think highly of O'Daniel, then that may be a move that the Chiefs make. Just a thought, not by any means a guarantee. I also would like to be able to say Darian O'Daniel Sorensen as much as possible this year. Derek Nnadi is going to be rotating through with Xavier Williams, the tackle that the Chiefs brought in from the Cardinals. But both of those guys are kind of two down defensive linemen, run stuffers in the middle. If the Chiefs are looking to run some 4-3, then those two in the middle are a really nice combo. But I don't know what happens on third down. That's something I'm going to be really interested to see, even as we get closer to training camp. What do the Chiefs do in the middle of their defensive line on passing downs? I think that at least for now, Xavier Williams has the advantage there. But they might be liable to do some weird things with Chris Jones and all these pass rushers they have with Jones. And then obviously D4, Justin Houston, Breland Speaks, Tano Passanio. Those are going to give you some versatility, which could be really interesting. And then Speaks being the next guy, he's the fourth one of those edge rushers that I think is going to get snaps this year. Houston, Ford, Passanio, Speaks in that order is my assumption. But also, we did hear from Brett Veach that he thinks that Speaks is going to be able to get on the field some sooner rather than later. So here's that clip I promised you earlier. This is Brett Veach being asked if he thinks that Breland Speaks is more pro-ready than Tano Passanio was last year.
I do, just because, well, number one, the level of competition, and, the way he plays. I think when we talk about a guy that can line up on the outside and then kick in on the inside, he's done that. Okay, he did that in college. If you watch his tape on a lot of this four-down stuff, he aligned both outside and they kicked him in on the inside. With Tano, it was a small school player, number one, and he was pretty much, a defensive end for Villanova and just kind of dominate that level of play. And he wasn't asked to do a bunch of different things. Whereas Breland, in regards to what we're asking him to do, he's already done it, number one. Number two, he's already done it versus a higher level competition. So we feel like the change and the adjustment should happen, obviously, more quickly for him.
If that is the case, then Breland Speaks does have a path to playing time that's a little bit shorter than we may think. But even then, I would hope that Tano Passanio is at a point now after 1 year in the NFL where he also doesn't have a terribly large amount of adjusting to do still. So I find that extremely interesting. Kind of the camp battle between those two guys is something I look forward to seeing. Also, I do think that gives you a little bit of a look into what the Chiefs might be doing on obvious passing downs some this year. They've got a lot of edge rushers, and Passanio and Speaks both seem like they might be the most likely guys to end up with their hand in the dirt, or any kind of a stand-up defensive end kind of role. Something to keep an eye on. I'm not exactly sure where Bob Sutton's going to roll that out, but something to keep an eye on. But that's where I'm at with the path to playing time and all of that. I think that the Chiefs have a draft that has guys at the top without starting roles waiting for them, which is relatively common in recent years for the Chiefs. Last year was Mahomes, Passanio, and Hunt. Obviously, Mahomes didn't start to week 17. Tano Passanio was a developmental guy. Kareem Hunt was not supposed to be the starter. Spencer Ware was. But Spencer Ware got hurt, and then obviously Hunt took over and then was a dominant force. But even first-round picks early second-round picks in years past, Chris Jones was sort of a develop-for-next-year guy. Dontari Poe was the same. So I don't think that we're in any sort of uncharted territory here. Just something that I found kind of interesting. We're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll hear some more from some scouts about these day three picks from the Chiefs. Also some more from Brett Veach. All that happens next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Sorry for the long pause. I had to sneeze.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I'm still allergic to everything in the air. Spring and summer are Satan seasons.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I guess I complain about my allergies a lot on this show. I don't apologize. I think it's only fair that I do.
Almost entirely complaining.
That's also fair. Like that's our spinoff. It's a really begrudging spinoff. All right, so we have a bunch of sound I want to get to throughout the show today, and it's all in the day three guys. I guess the boys we have the most space to learn. And also, it's the most interesting for me right now. We'll probably get to stuff about Speaks, Nadi, and Dorian O'Daniel tomorrow, or just throughout the rest of the week. But the last three picks the Chiefs had were Armani Watts, the safety, Tre'Mon Smith, the corner, and the defensive tackle who is moving to guard, Khalil McKenzie, son of Raiders general manager Reggie McKenzie, which is just a very fun little tidbit. It's fun. But the guy here that I think... I don't want to say has the least intrigue, but for me, is the least interesting as of right now, is probably Tre'Mon Smith, which we're going to start with him. We're going to save our dessert. Veggies first, dessert later. And so, again, as I said earlier, I think his path to this team is going to be, and Kent Swanson on yesterday mentioned this too, I think his path to this team is largely going to be through special teams, and then if he becomes more than that, great, but I don't think it's necessarily fair to expect that. However, this clip has some real treats in it. This is Chief Scout Willie Davis talking about Tre'Mon Smith. He was asked if the thing that made Smith stand out was his ability to break up a lot of passes, and Davis said yes.
That's what stood out. He really gets his hands on a lot of balls. You saw the speed, but you couldn't help but notice how often this kid is always around the ball, whether it's playing his man or coming off his man, playing, seeing the ball come out the quarterback's hands. He's always around the ball. And then you saw the speed. So he you're right, he got his hands on a lot of balls.
What's so funny, Beard? This is just Scout talking about a player. I don't know what you're giggling at.
I had a face twitch.
Sure, just a random face twitch, of course. There is some very good analysis in there. In fact, Beard's going to replay into the analysis. I don't know if any of that analysis really stuck with you as the kind of X's and O's guru that you are. I know that that's your passion. Some very good analysis there. Just do it. Just play it again. Just play it.
Got his hands on a lot of balls.
Beard's, of course, is playing that part again because he loves the fact that Tre'Mon Smith's a pass breaker upper.
Good hands.
Great hands.
He really gets his hands on a lot of balls.
That's a different clip than the one that he just played, yep. For the record. Those are two different clips. The analysis there was bookended by those two statements.
He really gets his hands on a lot of balls. Got his hands on a lot of balls.
And the fact that it's twice in two different ways is too much.
You don't think, like, after the first time he said that, he was like,
I think whoops, it probably registered at some point.
Didn't mean to say that. Oh, I'm still talking. Oh, I'm gonna just
say it again. It might have also been in the phrasing of the question. I don't remember.
Got his hands on a lot of balls.
God. But it's funny the language there for Smith, and also the language you'll hear about Armani Watson a little bit. I think it's really interesting because it very much lines up with a certain former cornerback of the Kansas City Chiefs that you may vaguely remember being here. He now plays in a different city, and I'm not talking about Philip Gaines or Terrence Mitchell.
He really gets his hands on a lot of balls.
He does.
So not only are they trying to replace some of the things that Marcus Peters' absence has left, which will, again, the quotes on Armani Watts are the best. I'm going to make you stick around for like 5 more minutes. Topping this next hour, we're going to talk about the audio about our Armani Watts. Because I really do think that's the most interesting thing, at least from the middle of this draft. I'm afraid that Breed's going to play it again. I'm not going to be ready.
He really gets his hands on a lot of balls.
But the thing that I think is interesting and good and encouraging is that the Chiefs are out here obviously and purposefully looking for guys that,
got his hands on a lot of balls.
Guys that gets their hands on a lot of balls. Yeah, a lot of pass breakups. Guys who disrupt the play. I like that as a scouting philosophy. Guys who create turnovers, who are risk takers, and who will go and pinpoint and target the ball instead of just trying to minimize the damage, try to create some damage the other direction. I really like that from my defensive backs. And it seems like the Chiefs do also, which for me is very encouraging.
Got his hands on a lot of balls.
I gave Beards too much power.
I don't have enough.
I give you as much power as I can give you, I think, on that.
That's fair.
But sort of like how he bookended that bit of analysis. We bookended this hour with allergy discussion and then you just destroying that poor audio clip. Those two poor audio clips.
I didn't do nothing. That was all his fault.
I mean, you're the one who's played him over and over. He just said it.
Twice.
So I like that analysis. I like that that's something the Chiefs are looking for. We can't go into the rest of the audio, though, because...
We don't have time.
Because we don't have time this hour. All of this is, we're in a weird place right now. We've got like 2 minutes. I guess we could just talk about my allergies. Are there any comments? Have I missed any comments recently?
There's been a few comments.
What were you and Charlie giggling at whenever Charlie like walked into the room?
Oh, he just came over and like stuck his head in the window by Richard Justice and Goatee and just kind of waved at the camera. And then he wanted to see it on the thing.
Got it.
That was all.
Very good.
Charlie was creeping.
Ulysses said, I was really disappointed at not getting a corner because having a ball hawk of a cornerback gives the ball back to your offense when you put so much stock in. It puts the ball in Mahomes' hands more. And that is 100% true. And Clinton also accurately followed that up with they got a safety whose top skill is being a ball hawk. He'll be on the free safety center fielder. I also hope that's true. I want to pull back a little bit on Watts just because I think that Bob Sutton is going to want to give the benefit of the doubt to the incumbent, which in this case is Eric Murray, who is more like Armani Watts than he is like Eric Berry. As far as playing style, I think that's worth noting. But we'll talk about Watts here more in a little bit, hear from Brett Veach, all that good stuff. But you said it's just the Peters effect, and that's true. Like, that's something, and listen, I know, I'm supposed to be over it by now. But that's part of the deal here. With the Chiefs, they have to improve on last year, and they lost someone who was very good at those things. And so, as much as I wish they would have gotten Isaiah Oliver in the first round, as much as I wish they would have made some more aggressive moves in free agency regarding the secondary, at least their draft-based scouting is moving in a direction to try to find the next Marcus Peters, or at least people who can come in and fill some of those holes. We'll hear from some more scouts on those draft picks. Also, GM Brett Veach coming up next, Almost Entirely Sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.
Got his hands on a lot of balls.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
In case you somehow missed that over on Facebook Live, you can fast forward later on to about the hour in mark. You can watch me eat a banana.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Lots of stuff here to talk about. Excited to get to. One thing that I am annoyed by is that apparently Ben Roethlisberger wants to play 3 to 5 more years now. Lovely. The Steelers drafted Mason Rudolph, the, I think, consensus number 5 quarterback out of the draft last year, or this year. We thought for a while that the Steelers were probably looking at one or two more years of Ben Roethlisberger. And now it sounds like having this guy behind him is making him want to hang around a little bit longer.
Well, it never said 3 to 5 more years with the Steelers.
Well, I think he might have.
Future New York Jet.
Ooh, that's good. Whenever Darnold fizzles out in a year, I like that. The Steelers took Mason Rudolph in the 3rd round. I don't think that that's a surprise, although this article on the Post-Gazette says that most everyone was surprised. I don't think that's terribly true. But this is the paragraph here from the story by Ed Bouchette, I think. Unlike others, he does not see Rudolph as his successor in a year or two. That's because Roethlisberger, 36, believes he will play another 3 to 5 years and has told management and his coaches as much. Well, that's fine. He can do that, Roethlisberger told the Post-Gazette on Tuesday about the rookie someday taking over as a Steelers starting quarterback. But I plan on playing for 3 to 5 more years, depending on how the line goes and staying healthy, if I can stay healthy. Brady was good after Garoppolo was drafted, but Brady's always been good. Roethlisberger seems to be on a sort of a decline. Not necessarily he's less sharp, but just it seems like his body is being tremendously challenged by this. All that being said, I would much rather have Mason Rudolph standing between the Chiefs and an AFC title than Ben Roethlisberger, and it's not even close. So something to keep in mind. All right, I've been promising you a handful of audio clips for a while now, and I think a few of these are really good. I listened to a lot of the audio from Brett Veach, his teleconference after the draft, and then also the pieces of audio from these various area scouts. The Chiefs made some of these guys available after the third day, which is awesome, because Brett Veach absolutely can talk about all these guys, but the area scouts who went and really did a lot of work on each of these prospects, those guys really know what they're seeing, and they watched a lot of these players. So this is really good information from all these guys. We talked about Tre'Mond Smith a little bit last hour. If you missed that, just search Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Or if you're watching at home, you can always go back and rewatch the episode.
On Facebook.
Yeah.
You can. That is also true. And you also heard Brett Veach talk about if he thinks that Breland Speaks is more pro-ready than Tano Passanio was at this point last year. Both of those, again, last hour. You can watch them on Facebook or listen to the podcasts. But I think that the two most sort of blanket statement interesting picks from this draft are Khalil McKenzie and Armani Watts. I'm going to save Armani Watts until the end. And I'm also going to save Brett Veach talking in his own words about all these guys until the end, because I want to make you wait for the good stuff. I don't know why. Maybe that's a bad mindset. The Khalil McKenzie stuff, though, was very interesting, and we'll get through it in a few minutes here. Because there are a few specific pieces of information that I think are really interesting. Again, if you're not familiar somehow, Khalil McKenzie played defensive tackle in college. The Chiefs are moving him to guard. He is the son of Raiders GM Reggie McKenzie. This is all fun rivalry stuff. But I think everybody probably had a similar handful of questions whenever it came to the Chiefs scouting McKenzie. And for me, I had two connection points that go back to similar guys. Zach Fulton, also out of Tennessee, he came as an offensive lineman, obviously. But also, the last time the Chiefs took a guard, I think it was the last time they took a guard in the 6th round, was Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, another guy that came in as a very rough prospect. This is even rougher because McKenzie wasn't even playing offensive line in college. However, the mentality behind it I think is fun and interesting. And there is a rewarding risk reward mindset here with, you know what, we're going to trade our 2 7th round picks to grab a guy. I don't know if he would have gotten drafted. I mean, they traded up for him, so I guess they assumed that he would. But we're going to trade up for a guy super late in the draft because we want to take this physical specimen and try dropping him in a different position. Obviously, they think that he has greater physical tools than anyone else here at this point in the draft. Maybe greater physical tools than any guard for quite a long while, because they invested in him having virtually no experience at the guard position. I have no idea if he played it in high school or whatever. But I think it makes an incredibly interesting project. I like it. I like spending 2 seventh-round picks to scoot up a little bit and take this just like incredible physical prototype body for this position, knowing that you're going to have to teach him how to play the position in a few different ways. I like it a lot. And I liked it even more after I heard scout Pat Spirito talk about him a little bit. Let's start with the with what they saw. I sometimes I do a bad job of preparing beards for which of these clips I want. One of them is 49 seconds and one of them is 40 seconds. I want the 49-second one here.
There's a 48.9791.
You know what? Let's round that one up and assume that's it.
Oh. Okay.
Let's round to the nearest second. The nearest. What was the exact time on this one that I said was 49 seconds?
48.979. It's not 49 seconds exactly,
I mean,
though.
It's literally almost as close as it could possibly be to being 49 seconds.
Could be 49.989. Could have been 48.999.
Here's the scout and what they saw from Khalil Mack at his pro, Khalil McKenzie. Dang it.
At his pro day, we worked him out as a guard, and we took a look, and he did some really nice things. I mean, they had three other offensive linemen working out, and he looked better than all three of them that were there. So it was pretty impressive and stood out, and I, you know, when we brought it up, we kind of tinkered with it back and forth and back and forth, and sure enough, Brett and Coach Reed and the staff, they decided that it was a good fit. Let's do it. Let's try it. Let's go for it.
He seems really open to it.
I talked to him.
I don't want
to
change position.
I talked to him a couple days ago, and that's the first thing I brought up. I said, what if we drafted you as an offensive guard? Would you? He said, I'd be willing to do anything. I just want to play football. I want to be a good player in the league. And he said, I'd definitely do it. So I passed that on, and here we are.
I just think it's incredibly interesting that they go to a pro day, just because, you know, it's a big pro day. They go to a pro day and are keeping an eye on this guy, and he looks better than the rest of the offensive linemen there. The rest of the guards there. I think that is fascinating. And it makes this pick so late in the draft just seem like a no-brainer. I also called him Khalil Mack before Beers started playing the sound. It's Khalil McKenzie. I'm sorry. I suck. We're just having a bad go of it. Did this recording just stop?
Well, it did the thing where I accidentally hit two buttons at the same time.
Yeah.
And went, that's too much.
Yeah, lovely.
So, we're all good now.
Fantastic.
It won't show up in the podcast.
Well, great. Hey, podcast listeners, you missed like a 10-second computer meltdown.
Not meltdown, just kind of freak out. It wasn't like the Maestro computer the other day where it had a seizure.
Fine.
It just got overloaded by me pressing two buttons instead of one.
This next audio clip that I think is 40 seconds, would you like to give it to me for the next three decimal places?
Oh, I need to know which clip you're talking about first.
The other one on McKenzie. It's the only other clip on Khalil McKenzie.
It's 39.235.
This one is just basically the scout giving you a bunch of really fun phrases about Khalil McKenzie, and I think it's fun.
He has no problem bending.
Ankle flexion, is it all there?
He has no problem. You'll see it on film. His trunk is so big and so strong. He plays, the way he plays as a nose tackle, he wasn't really an up-the-field guy. He's more of a latch-on, take on the double team, show you strength in your hands, you know, lock out and maintain. His head's always up. So he's really, that was his kind of forte. As a nose tackle, he would have been really basically a two-gap run defender, and that's it. Whereas a guard, now you're talking about a chance for him to kind of get into people and move them. Now he's the aggressor.
I like that, man. Also, I like pointing out his big trunk. Beards might just have a liner in progress of scouts saying phrases that might have other connotations.
His trunk is so big.
His trunk is so big. I think that's fun. Like, I like the idea also of when you're this late in the draft, finding guys that you see something in and then admitting that even in the NFL you can still be developing guys. Like, I think very often we forget that because especially at the top of a draft, you don't expect to see offensive linemen and really linemen in general or front seven guys. You don't expect to see them necessarily, like, grow a lot because you sort of think of them, at least I think of them sometimes, as sort of finished projects unless they are work in process types of guys.
You get confused there on your saying?
I did stumble over it. What did I just say? Did I say work in process?
Yes.
I think I said work in process.
I think you had it right the first time and then you corrected yourself to process.
I definitely messed that up a few times.
Yeah.
Get a mulligan on that one. This isn't going anywhere, right? Can you just stop the recording? We'll just take that again.
Yeah.
Got his hands on a lot of balls.
Marker?
His trunk is so big.
I tend to think of guys, especially at the top of the draft, as being guys that are ready to play, as opposed to being guys that are still a work in progress. Especially as someone who's switching position to the NFL level, I find to be an interesting player, and I'll be interested to see how he grows even through training camp. Another point in this presser with Sperduto, whose name, I mean, like, there's a 50-50 chance I'm pronouncing it correctly. I hope I am, but it's a toss-up. Where he was talking about Duvernay Tardif and just, like, how much he developed through his rookie season as, you know, first appearance in, like, rookie mini camp. Like, it was rough. In the preseason, it was rough, but, like, looked like there was something there. And then now he's one of the top, I don't know, top 5 or 10 paid guards in football, I believe. At least he was at one point. So I find that super interesting. Now, though, let's talk about Armani Watts. I don't think that either of these clips have any innuendo snuck in there, but listen, I mean, like, keep an ear open, I guess, Beards. You can play kind of an Easter egg hunt with this audio.
Ooh, fun.
Collectibles? Sure. Armani Watts is the guy from this draft that not only, as I've said earlier, seems to have a real path to pretty quick playing time where it's basically him versus Eric Murray for that role in the defense. Where Daniel Sorensen is like your broke man's Eric Berry, and Dorian O'Daniel is brought in as a Daniel Sorensen replacement. And that, like, I say broke man's Eric Berry because that's not fair. Eric Berry is a dynamic safety in all parts of the game. So I shouldn't even compare those two that way. Someone rightfully probably wanted to punch me in the face there for a second, and also always.
Good thing there's glass between us.
Right. And also that you're not Mr. Fantastic. We're like 20 feet apart.
I could throw things.
15 maybe? 15 feet? 20 feet seems like too much. But Dorian O'Daniel and Daniel Sorensen are competing. I would say that Eric Murray and Armani Watts are competing. I would also like to think that O'Daniel and Watts both have a little bit more in the physical tool department than the two incumbents, but the two incumbents are the two guys that are already there in the system already. But especially also in the way that the scouts and also eventually Brett Veach talk about Armani Watts, it's really exciting to me. So, Beers, this is the approximately 35-second long clip about Armani Watts.
35.526, but sure.
The scout here is Willie Davis. He was asked about Watts' instincts and playmaking ability and how that came into play in the Chiefs' evaluation process.
That's what drew our attention to him. He might not have the fastest 40, but the way as it's, the his instincts put him in positions to where he don't have to be this 4-4, 4-5 guy. I mean, he's getting to the ball because he understands route concepts. He understands if I don't have a man in my area, I can go help someone else. So this is a guy that he doesn't necessarily need to be the fastest guy on the field because of his instincts.
This was a place where I heard the echoes of Marcus Peters. And Watts is not a corner, he is a safety. And we use the phrase center field a lot. Beards, please no. God, please no. We talk about a center fielder style of safety, that's what this guy is. But the part of what Watts does that is so very Marcus Peters-ish is that the idea that if there's not someone in his area of responsibility, he's going to go find the ball. Beards is just furiously...
He really gets his hands on a lot of balls.
It's a brown-eyed, handsome man? I don't think I've ever paid attention to the lyrics, except for the... I know this part. That's the worst. Why would she do that? I just wanted to hear John Fogerty say that good, good position on the baseball field. Not so bad that I want to hear it a second time. But I like that. I like that discussion around Watts. The idea that he has the instinct to, if there's not someone in his zone or in his path of responsibilities, that he will leave it and go find the ball and try to get it back for the offense. That might be the thing that Marcus Peters was best at.
Got his hands on a lot of balls.
Sure did. I remember talking to Ron Parker after the Chiefs-Dolphins game, I think it was. And Parker was just raving about Peters' ability to do exactly that, his instincts, his football IQ, his ability to leave a guy that he didn't need to be matched up with. Once the quarterback was going the other direction and to go on to make a play on the ball. And I just think that is invaluable. There's another clip from the scout on Armani Watts. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but one thing that fits into that playmaking ability is Watts' ability and interest in risk-taking. And a risk-taking safety can be a tremendous, tremendous asset, but obviously can also get you burnt. So Davis was asked about how Watts factored in the scheme around him into the risks he would take, and Davis gave some very helpful details.
Yeah, I think it was all scheme. They, if you watch it, when he gambles at times, there's a safety usually over top of him. And that scheme, they gave him freedom to jump things underneath, and I think it made it look a little worse than what it was. But yeah, in that scheme, they gave him a lot of freedom to believe what he saw on film.
I have to imagine that the Chiefs are going to do the same thing here. I have to imagine that they're going to try to set Watts up in situations where they're going to let his instinct and his desire to go find the ball, they're going to let that be the real hallmark part of his game. I'd like to think that's the plan. And that's something that he can really do extremely well. That's the hope, at least. As he plays center field. Beards, I had that audio is 25 seconds. How'd I do?
25.861. So let's just call it 26. Round up.
Usually I try to just use the two numbers that are there and ignore all of the rounding and the decimals and everything, but I think I really threw us off with that 49-second one earlier.
Well, I see. This is your own issue. You know, you're just getting really lazy there. You just write down the first two numbers you see. Oh, wait a second. You're not even writing down the first number. There's a zero before all of that.
I actually do have a zero before all of them in my notes.
Hmm.
I promise you, next time I have audio, I will tell you on air. How many decimal points can you see in Cool Edit there?
Three. Outside of the 10th, 100th, and 1,000th of a second.
And you want all the decimal points?
I mean, it'd make my job easier.
Would it?
Yeah, you got four clips here that's 38 seconds long. How am I supposed to know which one you're talking about?
I did it! I had 35, 25, 49, 40, 27, 48, and 323.
Just because it didn't happen this time doesn't mean it can't happen in the future.
If it would have been the same length, I would have given you more guidance.
I'm just saying for future reference.
You would like every bleeping decimal
yes.
point. Hey, do me a favor, Beards.
Maybe.
This will also serve as a tease for next segment. Do you have the Brett Veach clip open where he talks about all three of the day three picks?
Yes, I do.
How long is that clip?
It's 3 minutes, 23 seconds, and then 0.154.
Perfect, thank you. Whenever we come back, dear listener, you're going to get 3 minutes, 23.154 seconds of Brett Veach talking about his three day three draft picks. Hey, Beards, how long is his next commercial break?
Let's see here. 33, 63, 122. Yeah, about 3 minutes. Give or take a couple seconds.
About 3 minutes? Are you bleeping me?
No. Gosh.
Okay, so in about 3 minutes, you're going to get 3 minutes.
I didn't even
minutes.
Factor in the liners and the music. Oh, gosh.
Let's say in about 3 minutes and 23 seconds, you're going to get about 3 minutes and 23 seconds of Brett Veach. Fair?
Eh, close enough. We'll round it up.
Down, actually. That's next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
This has been the most technically challenging week of this show's existence. Fair?
Beyond fair.
Like, it's a blowout.
Runaway.
Runaway.
Unanimous MVP.
The unanimous worst technical week in the history of this show. Not even Beards' fault.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Oh, and I will tell you whenever it's Beards' fault.
Thank you.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I hope you enjoyed your 3 minute and 23 second respite from this show. But now we're back.
The liner was 26 seconds, so.
So probably about 328.
332, because the liner to break.
Oh, the liner to break.
Yeah.
Are the, but the liner to break and back from break, those are pretty much the show.
Fox.
Some would argue the best part of this show.
Beyond. We have a liner that says so.
I imagine we'll probably hear that liner next.
Yeah, we might. Who knows?
Unless you already have another sneezing bass one ready to go.
Nah, I think I ran out of my sneezing ones. I think I just had the two.
Having all the audio clips today has been good because I can't realistically blow my nose as much as I need to just like with to dead air. Like if I'm like, Beards, cut my mic, and then I try to make it, it's not going to work. But if I get even approximately 26.42 seconds of an audio clip, that's usually enough for me to kind of solve my problems in that regard. So I'm starting to really figure out exactly how to manage all that. I think we're getting there, but I am getting a little tickly in the nose region, which makes me glad that we have another audio clip ready to play. Also, my eye is itching. I'm inside.
Ooh, that's the danger sign.
Oh, it is. It's
oh,
the
that's
worst.
Not good.
And you cannot start.
When your eye starts getting dry, mm-hmm. and then you just keep rubbing on it mm-hmm. and rubbing on it, and then just like, ah, I'm making it worse.
Yep. It is the worst. I've got some eye drops. If you want to watch it, put eye drops in during the this audio. You can watch the show on Facebook. That's going to happen. That's going to happen, and I don't even, like, what am I supposed to do? I've been inside since, like, 1:30. I don't know why my throat is scratchy, and my eyes are scratchy, and my nose is scratchy. I don't. Hey, modern science, modern medicine, where are you at? I need you here. I need you to let me know what's going on. I'm going to go buy some Flonase literally as soon as I leave this place today.
And some chili powder.
And just a big, I'm on a budget. I'm just going to probably go just get like a packet of taco seasoning and hope that works. It seems like you can really just wing it on the spices you decide to snort. Like, what's the worst thing that could happen? A brain hemorrhage? Oh, yeah, probably.
Internal scarring of the nose? Maybe.
Yeah, there are lots of things that could go wrong, yeah. I feel like.
There's only one thing that can go right, though. That's all you need.
I wanted to make a reference to the new Avengers movie, but I can't yet.
Oh, well.
When are you seeing Avengers?
Tomorrow.
If you would have just seen it this weekend, like...
You mean when I was
cool
working?
Kids, we could have done like an Almost Entirely Sports podcast on it or something.
Can still do that after tomorrow.
Yeah, but after tomorrow, like, everybody and their mom has already done a podcast about it.
So then do we bring in your sister?
She hasn't seen it. What are you trying to say? I feel like you missed your own joke. I feel like
you said everybody and their mom.
Right.
So bring in Chloe. Make her go watch it. Then she can come in and do a podcast with us.
Wouldn't it have been funnier for you to say to bring my mom in? Here's what we should do.
Because everybody's apparently doing a podcast with their mom already. We're being different.
Okay, I see. I think it'd be funnier for our moms to do the podcast.
That would also be good. I had that thought right before you said it.
I like that idea a lot. I like the idea of your mom, my mom, and Charlie's mom just coming in here. We can all run the board, pop up the mics, and we just let them do a podcast about literally anything. It would be really funny until they got better numbers than we do. And then it would start being sad.
And then they would just replace us.
Oh, they would. You're so right. I'm rubbing my eyes. I gotta stop. All right, Brett Veach, save us in every conceivable fashion. I'm gonna sneeze. Nah, man.
Ooh, that was another thud.
I didn't get to the throw before the sneeze.
Is there just a bunch of snot all over
there? Here's Brad V talking about all three of the day three picks, Watts, Smith, and McKenzie.
So start off with the fourth round pick, Armani Watts. Armani is a guy that had really, really good game tape. I mean, he was a guy that we liked. I mean, he's a physical player. You know, you get into the strong safety, free safety stuff, but we do so much high-low stuff with our free safeties that they got to be interchangeable. We thought Armani was a player that can play in our scheme in regards to, you know, being interchangeable. He can play down low because he is physical, he is tough, loves to hit, but he also has very good instincts and ball skills, and he's very good at anticipating routes. I don't know if you guys saw the Arkansas game in Texas Stadium this year where, you know, he won the game, I think, right in overtime there just by anticipating a red zone throw there. So the guy has tremendous feel back there. So, you know, we think over time that he can certainly develop into a starting safety, and we were really excited about Armani. And the reality of it is, with Armani, he didn't work out at the combine, and then he went to the pro day, and you know, he didn't run as fast as people thought. But had he run, you know, a few ticks faster, I don't think we would have had the opportunity to get him in the fourth round. So that was one of those situations where the pro day kind of worked in our favor in regards to getting a guy we liked in the fourth round, because sometimes people kind of get hung up on just the times. And really, you go back to the tape. I mean, the guy had really good tape, and we were really excited about that. Tremont Smith is a small school corner from Central Arkansas. I believe the kid was a quarterback coming out of high school and you know, kind of got overlooked because he was a smaller kid that played like a triple option type deal in high school at quarterback. And he goes to Central Arkansas, and you know, they throw him at corner from day one. The guy had tremendous production. really has a nose for the football. You know, now just elevating from the Central Arkansas up to the next level will be an adjustment. But, I mean, the guy ran 4.3. He's got really good hips, change of direction. All the physical attributes that you look for in a corner, I think he possesses. So we really like his skill set, and we think he has a chance to develop into a player. And then the last pick, Khalil McKenzie, is really interesting. You guys will have the chance to come out here and see these guys soon in OTAs. And, I mean, this kid's going to look like a first-round pick now. I mean, he is an impressive-looking player. He's a draftable talent just as a defensive lineman. And, you know, he would certainly be on our NFL roster this coming fall if he just played defensive line. But when you watched him at his pro day, and I know Pat Spirito spoke about this after we drafted him, he had such a good workout at the pro day at guard. It looked natural to him. Obviously, he has a pedigree playing on the offensive side. I mean, the kid has tremendous physical gifts. And, again, I don't know exactly how long this will take because, you know, he hadn't played offensive line in a long time. But as far as his size, his athletic ability, he has all the traits. And, again, if you didn't know that he was an offensive lineman, and if you just kind of popped in all the pro days and looked at Khalil McKenzie and looked at all the guys that went in round one, round two, round three, and if you didn't have any background, you didn't watch any tape, you just looked at just the pro day works, the size of this guy, and how he moves and how he adjusts, you would probably put him right at the top of your list. So that's kind of what we're dealing with here, a tremendously talented kid that may take some time, but we're certainly excited to take on that project.
Chiefs GM Brett Veach and all the day three picks. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff there, and that you're going to be hard-pressed to find better analysis than the analysis from Veach and from the scouts, which we played a little bit earlier. Again, one more time in case you missed it, search Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts. Josh, in the comments on the Facebook page, so what now at cornerback, who's a free agent? There was one guy whose name was getting thrown around a little bit. Someone coming off an injury whose name is currently escaping me. I should have that written down somewhere. I just don't. But I don't think it matters. I don't think the Chiefs are going to add another guy from free agency. I think there's a very good chance that they try to pull off some of the things that John Dorsey was very good at, which is finding guys after camp cutdowns and everything. Terrence Mitchell was a nice example of that. They tried it with, I think it was Kenneth Acker. You're going to find guys kind of in that realm, but more often than not, those guys aren't going to become high production guys. My guess would be, though, that the Chiefs end up looking at teams that do not run a man defense or a very high frequency press defense because the Chiefs do. So maybe there's a big body guy that doesn't fit into some other team's zone. Maybe there's a chance that he'll fit better with what the Chiefs are trying to do. That's just a guess, though. At this point, Josh, I don't expect to see the Chiefs bring in another cornerback in free agency. I think they're standing pat with what they currently have, which does concern me in a big way. And everything there from Vito, that was interesting. All the stuff about how natural McKenzie looks as a guard makes a lot of sense, that he has all the physical tools to pull that off. I'm incredibly interested by that. And then just another voice, in this case from one of the decision makers alongside Andy Reid, talking about how Armani Watts is extremely natural and plays the ball extremely well and has a great instinct for what it is to be that kind of safety that also fits into this scheme. One other thing that we touched on briefly yesterday, and we'll probably talk about more here and there, is what exactly this means for Bob Sutton this year. This might be a whole show at some point. But last year, at the end of the season, we spent a solid week wondering, are the Chiefs going to can Bob Sutton? And every day, I would say that I think it was kind of a 50-50 thing right after the season ended. And then with each passing day, it decreased by like a 10% chance. And then it just didn't happen. Andy Reid and Brett Veach, but mostly Andy Reid, showed a ton of faith in Bob Sutton at the end of last season and throughout this offseason. a tremendous amount of faith in Bob Sutton. Not only did they not let him go completely, they made a huge move by trading away Marcus Peters, and then made lots of other sizable moves. A big contract to Anthony Hitchens, making sure you get Kendall Fuller in return for Alex Smith, signing Xavier Williams, and then spending your entire draft until pick 198 on defense. There is a lot of investing there on behalf of Bob Sutton. And I'm not telling you they did the wrong thing. I was ready to bounce on the Bob Sutton experience. I've seen it fail too many times. Even when it hasn't been the biggest problem, it's been too often that I've seen that happen. But whatever. I'm not interested right now in saying if they made the right move or not. I'm just evaluating what they sent away, what they brought in, and what they're giving to Bob Sutton now. And I think it is just tremendously fascinating. And this season will be that as well for viewing what Bob Sutton and this defense accomplish. Because the Chiefs spent this offseason giving him the pieces. He might be the second most interesting piece of this team this year behind Pat Mahomes. I think at least, at the very least, he's the second most invested in guy. Because the Chiefs went out and brought in Sammy Watkins for Pat Mahomes. And obviously, he has the ability to really raise this team's ceiling much more so than anyone else ever could. But they invested in Mahomes by giving him the reins of the offense and bringing in Sammy Watkins. And they've been building this offense for a while now, but Watkins and obviously just giving the keys to Mahomes were huge moves. But I think Bob Sutton has gotten a similar sort of investment in himself. Hitchens and the money there, and then the entire draft is the Chiefs telling Bob Sutton, we're buying what you're selling. We believe in you. Make it happen. Corey asks if the free agent cornerback I'm talking about is Delvin. I'm guessing it's pronounced Bro, but it's spelled B-R-E-A-U-X. It's not. That's not what I'm thinking of. I'll figure it out in the commercial break. That's what commercial breaks are for. Commercial breaks are for Googling things without having to get the Jeopardy music out.
And sneezing.
Yeah. Commercial breaks are for eye drops, nose blowing, sneezing, and Googling.
And eating.
I don't really ever eat during the show, I don't think. I have a mint in my mouth right now because I'm trying to stop the tingles in my throat.
But like, if you are eating, the obvious place to do that would be during commercial breaks.
Yeah, if you're not an absolute Neanderthal, what are you talking about? Obviously. Unless you're a child or a fool. Yeah, hey, welcome back. We're welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports. Here's me crunching on a mitt. And unless you're a child or a fool, or you're doing it for a bit, in which case, guilty.
You have slurped soda very loudly.
What, like this?
And other things. Yeah.
That falls under the bit category, I believe.
I would hope so.
I didn't do that because I thought it was going to get me to fill in for Jim Rome someday. Which is obviously my dream. Clinton also has a comment here that I'm going to talk about whenever we come back. Because I think it's interesting and it's going to be a topic that gets us to the end of today's show before I launch myself onto a quest for Flonase.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Wouldn't it be really nice if one of these guys back here, one of your minions, went and made you a plate?
It would be. I don't. First of all, one, don't trust them. Two, they wouldn't do it for me even if I did trust them.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Holy cow, the president of Barstool was on Tucker Carlson's show to talk about crying college kids. Perfect. Someone quote tweeted it just to say, you literally cried because the Chiefs beat New England in a regular season game at Stool Presidente. The president of Barstool and Tucker Carlson having a conversation. Oh, no, don't turn up the volume. No, God, no. Having a conversation about the one crying closet on that one I don't remember what college campus it was. But they unveiled a closet you can go into in the library or whatever if you need a good cry. Which I think is redundant because every inch of a campus, a college campus, is a crying.
I feel like the library would be the worst place to have that.
Yeah, no.
Because the library is supposed to be a very quiet place.
Oh, boy, the mentions on this are absolute cancer. And you're right. But also, like, on the sheet, it said, like, max 10 minutes, and also, if you use this, please tweet out hashtag crying closet college name. You're not going to blow up your own spot like that. Like, hey, everybody, I'm going to drop a pin. I'm in the crying closet at the library, just bawling my eyes out because my finals went poorly.
Do they have somebody sitting there in front of it that's, like, the gatekeeper where you leave?
Right.
They have to check your phone to make sure you actually did tweet it out.
Did you tweet about it? Or you got an egg timer out there, a very strict one-in, one-out policy? Yeah, I don't know. But I'm just glad that Tucker Carlson and the president of Barstool are having a conversation about it. That is important to me.
I bet you they don't carpet that room. All the water damage.
I'm glad you finished that joke. I really am. So I looked up the corner I was looking for, and the one that Corey mentioned, Delvin Bro, perhaps, it's spelled in the most New Orleans-y possible way, is he was taking some visits throughout March. He wanted to stay in New Orleans, but he's still a free agent as far as I can tell. Breshad Breeland was the cornerback that I was thinking of. He actually signed with the Panthers this offseason until his physical failed. So that was a guy that was getting kicked around a little bit on Twitter as a guy that potentially, if he clears a physical, maybe he ends up on a team somewhere. That was the one name that I thought might be worth keeping in mind. The question that Clinton said, the comment that Clinton had that I thought was interesting was, remember over the past few years where it was which side of the ball will play well, offense or defense? Now that the offense is set up, it's up to the defense to do their part, however many seasons that takes. I think there's something to that. But the place that we got to yesterday that I thought was also kind of interesting is the idea that it's really the offense's job to win these games and the defense's job to not lose them. I think there's some truth to that where You're trying to set up the offense with all this firepower and through Mahomes, and you might need the defense to give you one takeaway a game to try to even that playing field. But more than anything, just not get trounced. Don't get run over. And also, try to force your opponent into a shootout. The Chiefs have invested a lot in their run defense, partially because that's a way that you can beat a team with an elite quarterback. If they really think they've got that in Pat Mahomes, they would rather get into a deep ball battle with Phillip Rivers rather than to let Melvin Gordon run all over them for 60 minutes. Maybe there's something to that. I'm not entirely sure. But I think that you can at least kind of go in that direction a little bit, and it makes some sense. So there's the thoughts on all of that. Also, I thought it was kind of funny to note that that Eric Murray... And this is how cyclical this all is. Eric Murray was this guy that we're talking about now. Eric Murray was any of these various draft picks in 2016. He was a fourth round pick in 2016, pick 106. Pick 106 this year. Just inside of that story, you know, Daniel Armani Watts, who we're singing the praises of Armani Watts right now. He was pick 124. The middle of the draft like this is just throwing darts. And honestly, it seems like Eric Murray is probably a pretty successful use of a pick in that range. Of a high fourth round pick. They ended up getting moved to safety. He was, I think he was a corner most of the time in high school. Move him to a safety, get some production out of him. Seems like he might be on the come up a little bit. Like Steven Nelson's in a similar category. I think he was a third round pick. This is just sort of how we talk ourselves into these guys. Yeah, he was. He was picked 98, right in the same range. Steven Nelson and Dorian O'Daniel and Eric Murray. Those guys all go in the same cluster of like 10 picks. And you just hope they become players. Nelson and Murray became contributors. My hope today, right now, is that Armani Watts will become a starter. We even got to a moment of saying maybe Armani Watts is a starter day one if he can beat out Eric Murray. You hope Dorian O'Daniel is a contributor. You hope Derek Nnadi is a contributor. You hope Breland Speaks is a starter eventually, but you just don't really know. That's when the draft, like, that's why I like with the draft talking about the needs the Chiefs target. And it's why, especially this year, I didn't make myself a draft expert and film analyst, because I might have watched film on 100 guys, never gotten to Breland Speaks or Derek Nnadi or Dorian O'Daniel or Armani Watts, Tremont Smith or Khalil McKenzie. And even for the guys that do, guys like Kent we had on yesterday, it's a whole lot of hoping those guys look like they did in college, or hoping they look better than they did in college. Or hoping they just don't look like they did in college. This is the exercise that we get into. I enjoy it, and I enjoy it from a team construct side as much as anything. I feel like I know more about Brett Veach now than we did a few days ago, even if we don't know if Armani Watts can play a lick of NFL football or not. So, I've enjoyed that. I hope you've enjoyed this as a 2-hour respite from your own personal battle with your allergies.
I'm fine.
I'm glad that you're doing well. I don't know what it is that's really... Something has exploded these last couple days. And it might just be everything. I'm legitimately just like, if it's in the air coming out of a plant, I'm allergic to it in a way that is just catastrophic. Tomorrow, we're going to have a Wet and Wacky Wednesday with Charlie and possibly one or actually possibly two surprise guests that not even Beards knows about that I can't even tell Beards about. Sorry, Beards. You have to tune in tomorrow. You're going to have to really listen. Honestly, it's my way of saying that even more so than usual, I don't really know what tomorrow's show is going to bring. Talk to you then. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.